Hepzibah House is an independent, fundamental Baptist home for girls in Warsaw, Indiana, founded in the early 1970s by Ron and Patty Williams. Ron Williams travels to local churches to advertise his foolproof program for instilling godliness into so-called troubled girls from Christian homes. He promises that he can deliver genuine spiritual change in teenage girls who are being tempted away from godly Christian womanhood by contemporary society and their peers. This documentary presents the experiences and observations of eight women who lived at Hepzibah House at various times between 1980 and 2004.
Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble.
We always had a submission being just drilled into our heads that it was important for girls to be submissive. And he would always quote scripture to back up what he said about girls being submissive. And the whole thing was just, I guess, tearing us down, making us feel like we were less than men.
The paneling was so severe that I couldn't control my own body. I lost my bowels.
I was never before that ever hit with that much force. I was so surprised at how hard he was hitting me. I screamed.
There was one beating that I received that I did urinate because of the pain.
You could be paddled for making eye contact.
I was hit every day that I was there, sometimes several times a day.
One of his female servants was holding my legs and one of his female servants was holding my arms. And here's this 6'6" man taking full swings at our sciatic nerves, at our sacral areas, at our tailbones.
He lifted up my skirt and I was 15 and a man I didn't know was lifting up my skirt.
They just lied to us, which we're finding apparently they just lie whenever they feel like it.
We were thin, scary thin.
You know, I see so many former Hepzibah students who are broken, and I just want to say to them, I know the answer. And they seem to not be able to hear it because all they know of God is what Williams taught, and there's so much more.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death.
Whenever a woman has a boss outside of her home, she's torn between two authority figures, and that creates complications. A woman who is most productive is a woman who is in God's order, which means she's under masculine authority. She's not her own authority.
That was Ron Williams. Two sound bites of him preaching his sermon, God's Grand Design for Women. In this five-part series about Hepzibah House, you will not hear much from Ron Williams directly. He has a website that once housed his essays and sermons, but shortly after former Hepzibah House students organized their first protest of his abusive home for girls, Williams took down all of his sermons and essays. I was able to capture some of his writings, and those will be read by a narrator. But Williams, as it turns out, has chosen to hide his ideas from the scrutiny of an audience that is now far larger than three dorm rooms full of teenage girls. Christian fundamentalism is the only evangelical sect that advocates sending your children away for somebody else to raise. The concept does not exist in the Bible, but this is how Ron Williams acquires girls. He simply advertises that he can take over where parents are failing. He claims that he takes in troubled girls, but actually most of his girls are simply normal teenage girls. Indeed, in several cases, it's the parents who are out of control and not the children.
My parents said, this is the solution, this is how we can fix this, and I agreed. I was told that it would be counseling for the family problems, and that they would be counseled, that I would be counseled, that we would be counseled together, and that in 15 months we could be a family. And that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted more than anything.
My mom was very concerned for me. She wanted to make sure that I was getting the best education possible. She also wanted to make sure that I was having a structured home within to live, as well as a biblical teaching, and she believed I could get that at Hephzibah House.
My mom was a fundamental Baptist, and wearing jeans was bad, and dancing was bad, rock music was bad, that kind of stuff I wasn't allowed to do. And because I was listening to rock music, and I wanted to dance, and I wanted to wear jeans, so I was sent to Hephzibah House to fix that.
I was a good student. My parents were, you know, they weren't like super harsh about it, but they were always making sure that we had our stuff done. We were all on the honor roll, and we all got good grades.
Ron Williams came to our community church. He came and is a very charismatic man, preached a sermon. My parents were complaining to my pastor about what a rebellious teenager I was. He said that it would be better for them to send me to Hephzibah House than to end up dead on the street somewhere, or worse, pregnant.
My parents had gotten divorced, and I went to live with my father, but he wasn't around a lot, and so I had a lot of freedom. And when I was with my mother, I didn't have so much freedom. I didn't have any freedom, really. I went to church 3 times a week and was just so excited to go live with my dad because I knew I'd be able to do what I wanted to do. One weekend, I guess, I just decided to go to my girlfriend's house. My dad wasn't home. I didn't leave a note, and I just went to her house, and I ended up staying there for a couple of days. A couple of days later, we were walking down the street, and a green car pulled over, and it was the state, and they took me and took me back to my parents. And then my parents made the decision that I would go to Hephzibah House.
I had a troubled family life. I was moving around a lot between my real mom, my dad, and my stepmom. I ran away from home. I did believe in God. I agreed to go to Hephzibah House of my own free will because I believed that the solution was in Christianity. I believed that that's how I could figure out how to get things back on track with my family.
When I was like 10 years old or something, my parents started attending a Baptist church, which, you know, we're still very close with those people. And it was nothing like what we then went into. And so the next church after that, when I was about a junior in high school, instantly it was different, though, and they just fell into it. And the pastor decided that he was going to start his own school, and it was basically going to be me, my two younger sisters, maybe one other boy who was in grade school, and I was going into my senior year, and I absolutely did not want to attend this school for my senior year, so I told my parents I wasn't going to go there. They were upset, and I just said, I'm not doing it. They talked to their pastor. He said I had to, and they were basically going with that. I had to. So I just said, no, I'm leaving, packed my stuff, called a friend, their family, moved to another state, and enrolled myself in public school. But I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't promiscuous. I wasn't causing trouble. Their pastor just convinced them that I was on the road to that, though. And he had people come and actually abduct me off the street when I was walking to school.
Never did drugs. I smoked a little bit of pot. You know, I wasn't dealing. I wasn't stealing from anybody to buy drugs. Never drank. I got in a fight in school. Never got suspended from school. Never had any run-ins with the law. As far as I know, I basically got sent away for puberty.
I was probably your typical teenager in that I wanted to listen to the music that my peers were listening to. I wanted to hang out with my peers, and I wanted to participate in activities like wearing a two-piece bikini or going to a movie that was rated R rather than PG-13. Just different types of growing pains. My mom and I had also come through my father dying when I was 11. I also was reaching out to the wrong places for love.
As soon as a girl arrives at Hepzibah House, she is separated as quickly as possible from her parents. She is then made to strip and wash, the first step in a process of isolating her, increasing her fear, and taking away her sense of dignity. This process is part of breaking her will, a goal advocated by Ron Williams, even though the Bible does not ever advocate breaking the will of a child.
We pulled up, it was kind of getting dark, and Joel Williams and Aaron Williams, who are two of the sons, came out. And Joel walked to the car and he said, "Do you have the girl?" And I remember saying, "I have a name." I was like really offended by that. And we all walked in. I mean, I walked freely in. Ron was there. My parents were in there for a little bit. He was talking about discipline and I'm going to go to school there and get on the right track. I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know how long I would be there. And then his daughter, Heather, came and took me out of the room. And then that was the last time that I saw my parents or anybody, or until my first visit. And then just off the intake room, there's a bathroom. And I had to go in there and get a strip search. I had to take all of my clothes off. I remember she was looking through my hair, lifted up my arms, looked under my breast. I don't think she really touched me. She made me, you know, I don't recall her really touching me except for my hair. And then had to bend over, had to get in the shower. She went through my clothes and then I got out and they gave me some pajamas to put on and socks, no slippers or no shoes. I was taken downstairs to where the dormitory area was and all the girls were getting ready for bed. And I just remember thinking, like, I was crying. I was just crying. And I remember thinking, all these girls are staring at me, like, with these really, like, blank looks.
Got me there, and I remember they pulled up to School Street, and Ron Williams met us out in the front yard, and we all walked inside. And as soon as the door closed, I heard the lock turn, and my heart dropped through my feet, and I knew I was in deep trouble. And we went to the blue room and they said, "Well, you need to say goodbye to each other." And we hugged and kissed goodbye. And Don Kagan took me upstairs, put me in a bathtub, watched me take a bath, much to my complete and total horror, and took away all my belongings and put me in a uniform.
When I got there, I believe it was Don Williams who came out to the vehicle and ushered me inside with my grandfather. I remember he had a funny lisp. And I remember walking into a room and the doors were bolted behind us. Naomi asked me if I would like to see where I would be staying. We went downstairs. We went straight into the bathroom. I was told by another lady staff member to strip, at which I said, "Oh my God." And I said that more out of shock, not so much out of disrespect for the Lord. And at that point, I was slapped across the face by this particular staff woman. So I took my clothes off. I was told to get into the shower, and I was watched while I was in my shower. And when I came out, they provided me with clothes I had never seen before. I didn't know they were mine.
The first thing that I remember was being taken down to the little schoolroom and shown my cubicle that would be my desk and where I would study. And I sat down there, and the director's son, Don Williams, was right next to me, and he was lobbing spitballs at the front of the desk. He was about my age, and I looked over the divider and scowled at him like a teenager, and he continued to do it. So the next time I really looked over the divider, and staff clapped their hand on my shoulder, and I was taken and paddled. He didn't stand up and say that he was at least involved. But that's my first paddling.
The Lambs of Hepzibah House is produced by Jerry Massey.